In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. In this morning's epistle, or the reading from the Acts of the Apostles that we heard today, we heard about a woman named Tabitha, or the Greek version of that name is Dorcas. And she had died. She was mourned very deeply because of all of the good works that she had done for her community. It says that she was full of good works and acts of charity. And so she was dearly mourned, especially by the widows who she had helped. As they mourned her, they called for Peter to come because he was nearby. And so he came, and as he was with them, they were mourning her and showing Peter, it says, the garments which she had made for them while she was with them. So she was a very good and charitable woman. But St. John Chrysostom, in his homily on this passage, he points to one very small detail in the story that we could so easily overlook, but is actually of great importance in understanding this woman and her service and her example for us of Christian service. The widows showed her the garments, it says, which she had made for them while she was with them. That phrase, while she was with them. St. John Chrysostom points out that this woman doing these charitable works, Tabitha, was not content simply to sit in her nice home, you know, surrounded by her servants, and make these clothes, and then perhaps have one of her servants take them to the poor widows who lived in the poor section of town. She wasn't content to help them from afar. But instead, she came and served them, not merely by her works, but also by her presence. She helped them while she was with them. And if you think about it, that part of her help was so much more important than the practical, sort of material help that she gave. The fact that she was present with these poor widows, who, just socially, we can assume, felt very much abandoned. You know, in general, the poor are sort of forgotten. Especially the poorest of the poor are forgotten by society. And also at that time, widows who had lost their social standing because they no longer had a husband. You know, at that time, of course, it was a very patriarchal society, and women depended on their husband for their, not only their social standing, but also for their legal rights. So these widows, you can imagine, felt abandoned by society. And to have, you know, this woman, Tabitha, a woman of means who was able to help them because of her means, to actually come and be beside them and work beside them, that was for them a great blessing and encouragement to know that they weren't alone. And that was what impressed them so deeply, that when they showed St. Peter how much she had helped them, they pointed out that she made these garments while she was with them. While she was with them. St. Peter, moved by their display of love for Tabitha, he goes to raise her from the dead. But notice how he raises her from the dead. It actually shows this same ministry of presence, which is essential, I would say, to the Christian idea of charity. He goes to her and He puts them all aside. He puts everyone out so that he can just be with her body. And he kneels down beside the body and he prays. He prays in her presence. And then turning to her, he says, "Tabitha, arise." He speaks these words of kindness to her. She opens her eyes and sits up, and then he gives her his hand, his touch. We focus on how these kind of healings were accomplished, of course, not just by the apostles, but especially by our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. And the miracles that take place, you know, the wonder of it all, that someone who is dead comes back to life. But we should pay attention to these details of how healing is accomplished through Christ. You know, Christ didn't always just heal from afar. You know, sometimes with Lazarus, he issued the command into the grave and Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus came forth. But think about the time when the widow was burying her only son. If you remember that time, the widow was burying her only son. And as they were carrying the body, Christ comes and it says he puts his hand on the bier. He touches. And then he speaks to the dead boy and asks him to arise. So that touch is also part of Christ's healings. And so many times, like when the man we will hear next Sunday about the man whose eyesight was restored, whose eyes were restored, and how Christ spit on the ground and made mud with his fingers and applied it to his eyes. You know, there's a symbolic meaning of that. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But also there is this sense of touch, of healing through Christ's touch. Christ shows that same ministry of presence in today's gospel when there is another person who must have felt very abandoned, this paralytic, who it says was paralyzed for 38 years. Obviously paralyzed, he couldn't support himself, so he's begging for help. And there's another small detail in this story. When Christ comes and asks him about his story, the man explains that for 38 years he's been laying here and he's not been able to enter the pool to be healed because he has no one to take him to the pool. I mean, how utterly abandoned is this man? There's no one to even like sort of help him and carry him to the pool. He's completely isolated and alone. One of the hymns for this Sunday at Vespers last night says that the paralytic was like an unburied dead man. He was like an unburied corpse. Sort of dead to the world because he had been abandoned. And yet Christ comes to him. Christ doesn't sort of like see him from afar and say, you know, like, "You're healed. You're healed," you know, like zap him with the divine lighting. He could have. But he comes to him and he stands by his side and he asks him about his story. He says, "Oh, do you want to be healed? Is that why you're here?" And he listens to his story. And then he heals him. This ministry of presence. And of course, Christ didn't even have to come and sort of like shoot the lightnings from his fingers. He could have stayed in heaven, right? He didn't have to become a human being. As God, he could have fixed us all from afar, right? He could have just sort of blinked and made us all perfect. Whether we wanted to be perfect or not. He could have done that. But that would have been treating us like objects. Treating us like a problem to be fixed. Not treating us like people And of course, that's the whole reason why God created us in the beginning, was in order to have a personal relationship with us, to relate to us as people, and to draw us up into His life, into communion with Him. And so in order to save us, because we had fallen so far from that ideal, that goal that He had for us, the Son of God became a human being to be present with us, to heal us, not just of our problems, but to heal us of our alienation from Him, to reconcile us to Himself by being present with us, to save us from our spiritual isolation, from our spiritual abandonment of Him by coming to us and drawing us to Himself. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is all a lesson for us and an example to us in looking to other people's problems, to resist the urge, which is so common, to think of them as objects to be fixed, but rather to attend to them, to serve them, to be present with them, bringing to them not only help, but also love and care. And so to continue and further this work of reconciliation that Christ Himself began through His incarnation. Glory to our great and saving God, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, together with His Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.